The Lord be with you.
Would someone close the doors, please?
Let's take a minute to prepare our hearts for worship. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is God. He has made his light to shine upon us. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Sing our first hymn. Please stand for the confession and absolution. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Let us humble ourselves before God and confess our sins to him and implore his forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, we acknowledge our sinful nature and repent of our sins, those of which we are not aware and those we know full well. We do not love you and other people as we ought. We are often careless with your creation and heedless in choosing the proper priorities in our lives. It is our intent to say and to do that which honors you. For the sake of Jesus, grant us your forgiveness, so that as your redeemed people, we may be fit places for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and may serve you in time and in eternity. May God be gracious to you and strengthen you in your faith. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord and giver of life, you call your people from death and despair to faith and faithfulness. In Christ we are assured of resurrection and life. Enlighten our hearts that we may have a right understanding in all things and may rejoice in the power and the blessing of your word among us. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Father are one, world without end. Amen. You may be seated as the first two lessons are read.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out of in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he laid me around and among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know, only you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay skin upon you and cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were skins on them, and flesh had come on them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and breath on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came to them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are a whole of the house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy, and I say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and will bring you to the land, into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the gradual. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live.
Our second reading comes from Romans 8, 1 through 11. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of the sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for our sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set your mind on the flesh is death, but to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For that mind that sets on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In the fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through this Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel today, according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, and his hands and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face was wrapped with cloths. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he had did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What will we do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but also together into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put Jesus to death. This is the gospel of the Lord. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we sing the sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I always get a little apprehensive when I'm going to drive someplace that I have never been to before. I like to be sure, I like to know what's going on, and I'm just not really good at driving and reading signs and paying attention to traffic and doing all of those things at once. And so one of the things that has been a great benefit for me is Google Maps. You can go to Google Maps and you can say, I want to go from point A to point B, and it will draw out several different routes for you to take. And it will tell you how long each route will take you to drive and tell you how many miles is, and you can pick the shortest or the longest or the fastest, whichever you would like to do. Then it gives you a map and shows you what your route is going to be, and it gives you kind of a bird's eye view of what it's going to be like, what that trip is going to be like. I'm going to be traveling east. I know that when I cross the bridge, I'm going to be driving south. It's a great benefit. But that's only one perspective of that trip. The other perspective of that trip is taking the little man from the corner and dragging him to the street where the building or house is that you're going to drive to. And when you do that, then the screen changes and it gives you a close-up perspective of where you're going. And you can look and see that building, and you can look up and down the street, and you can see places to park. It's a great benefit. That gives you a perspective on the ground locally. You can see where the front door of that building is. And if there's a sign out front, you can read that sign. You might be wondering what that has to do with the two readings today. We're going to be talking about the gospel lesson, the death of Lazarus. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about the Old Testament reading, the dry bones that we remember that song from. So there are two points that I want to make today. The first one talks about perspective. That perspective that I mentioned that you get from Google Maps. You get the big picture from above, and you get the local ground level picture. And that's what I want to talk about, first of all, for the gospel lesson today. You see, Jesus and Mary and Martha each had a different perspective on Lazarus' death. Mary and Martha, his sisters, are understandably devastated. But Jesus, on the other hand, has a totally different perspective. Maybe a little background would help so that we understand what's going on a little bit better, because we kind of start in on a brief part of this story. In the chapters leading up to the story, the gospel lesson today, we know that Jesus was teaching in the temple and that he was doing miracles. Last week we heard about one of those miracles when he talked about healing the blind man. Jesus had been accusing the Pharisees of being bad priests. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and implying that the Pharisees were not good shepherds, and in fact, they weren't being good shepherds. Jesus did other miracles, and the Pharisees accused him of being demon-possessed. Jesus claimed that he was from God, and the Pharisees just really had trouble with that. They didn't understand. They didn't want to believe. And so by this time, the Pharisees had threatened to stone him on a couple of occasions. And so because of all of that, Jesus has gone to the other side of the Jordan River to be alone with his disciples. While Jesus is there in the desert, Mary and Martha's dearly beloved brother gets sick. He becomes more and more ill, and they send word to Jesus asking Jesus to come and cure him. From our ground level perspective, we might have asked or expected that Jesus would find the nearest horse and get on that horse and ride as quickly as he could to Lazarus' side. But that's not what Jesus did. That's not the perspective that he had. To our surprise, he says, "This illness does not lead to death, for it is the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." But wait a minute, you say. I know the outcome of this story. I've read it before, and I know that Lazarus dies. Why would Jesus wait until Lazarus is actually dead before he, in fact, leaves the area that he's going from? By the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus has already been dead for 4 days. So while Jesus seems to be lollygagging and Mary and Martha watched their brother get sicker and sicker and finally die. And then Jesus finally decides to go to Bethany, where Mary and Martha live. Our reading today begins where Jesus has arrived at the outskirts of Bethany, and Martha meets him there, and she says, and you can understand how she would say this, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." That's a very human perspective, a very human statement. But as I said, Mary and Martha have one perspective, and Jesus has a totally different perspective of this whole event. Mary and Martha see it totally from a human ground level perspective. They have lost their beloved baby brother, and they are mourning because of that. And that makes perfect sense. But Jesus is looking at it from a much larger picture. While he also mourns Lazarus' death, he knows that Lazarus will be restored. So while Martha is deeply saddened and mournful, Jesus has a divine perspective and knows the joyful outcome that is coming to them and to Lazarus. But more importantly, it's going to be really tough for those Pharisees to say this Jesus who's doing these miracles can't be from God, because it's hard to say, well, yeah, I know that guy was a corpse. I know he was dead in the tomb, but now he walks and is alive because of what this Jesus has done for him. So clearly, the best perspective to have is that perspective from above, so that you can see the whole outcome. You can see where things are going to go. You can see what needs to happen, and you can accept that whatever is going to happen is a good thing. When we look at things from a ground level, our vision is very limited and we don't understand. So I have a question then for you. What things in your life today that are causing you emotional pain or physical pain or sorrow or fear or unhappiness, what things might Jesus have a different perspective on? Perhaps you have an erring child or grandchild. Perhaps someone has made a decision in your life that is just a very unfair decision for you. Maybe at some point in your life you've lost a job. I'm sure you can think back on your life and think of times when other things have happened that were just hard to deal with because you couldn't see how that possibly could turn into anything good. But you see, perspective makes all the difference in the world. When we look at problems today from our ground level problem, you can't see down the road and you don't know how this is all going to come out. We need to remember that God has that bird's eye perspective. He sees things from much farther away. And so he has a plan that for us we don't understand. And yet he has our best interests in mind. Because of that, the gospel lesson for today gives us a higher and a wider perspective on things. It helps us to understand what's going on in our life better. It gives us a better idea that something good is coming for us. It helps us understand that no matter how bad things may appear, know how inexplicable those delays are. Why is it taking so long, God? We can understand better that those delays are there for a reason. And we're reminded that when things happen not on our timeline, but on God's timeline, that all is not lost. When we're being ravaged by the events of life, it's difficult for us to understand and to believe that God really is in control. But today we think about those delays that Jesus caused and we realize how it was that he did that and the benefit of that delay. We are reminded that God is all-powerful. We are reminded that God knows all. He even knows when every sparrow falls to the ground. He knows your plight. He cares, he loves you, and he is indeed responding. We just may not have the perspective to see that. So you would probably ask this: how can we earthbound people who have a very limited perspective on the future understand how that God's love is involved in our lives? And how do we really believe that? Despite the crisis, despite the disasters and the catastrophes in our lives, we still have to recognize and accept that we never can fully comprehend the workings of God and the completeness that he has in our lives. In Isaiah 55, God speaks. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts greater than your thoughts." We just don't have the capability to understand. And that's where our faith comes in. So when delays come and hardships come to us, we cannot expect to know all of the details. We cannot expect to know all of the reasons why things happen. We cannot expect to have all the answers provided to us. If we spend all of our time asking that question, "Why, Lord, why me, why now?" then we're mostly wasting our time. The second point that I would like to make this morning is best exemplified in the Old Testament. In that Old Testament, God leads the prophet Ezekiel out to a valley of dry bones. As I visualize this, I see bones kind of lying everywhere, a little bit like that old game of pick-up sticks where you drop the sticks and they were laying everywhere. And God leads him there and says, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel very wisely sidesteps the question by saying, "Lord, you know." And God tells him to do something that is seemingly pointless. And at the same time, he promises that these bones will live again. So Ezekiel does as he's commanded, and the bones come together, and ligaments come on them, and muscles come on them, and they're covered with flesh. But still, they are no more than dead corpses. So God commands him now to prophesy to the breath. That word breath also means spirit. It also means wind. The old Hebrew word is ruach. And so Ezekiel does. He commands the bones to have breath in them. And God brings those bones back to life and those bodies back to life. And so we are here reminded that God will again, even after we die, he will breathe that breath of life back into us, and that we will live again as well. Not in this earthly body that we think about now, the one that we'd like to say, "Well, I want to be taller, I want to be more slender, I want to have a nice square chin and high cheekbones." That's not the body we're talking about. That's the body of this earth that is broken. Rather, we will have a heavenly body. And so, even when the worst has happened to us, even when the most frightening thing in the world that we can imagine comes to pass, from the texts today, we realize that God has a plan for us. He has the bird's eye perspective. He sees the larger picture. He knows the outcome. And ultimately, in him, we have that hope of eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We offer our gifts to God. We continue with the Passion Tide observance. On some church calendars, the fifth Sunday in Lent is the official start of the season of Passion Tide, although in many places Lent and Passion Tide are of the same duration. From today through the conclusion of Holy Week, there will be a special focus on the sacrifice of Jesus that brings him into Jerusalem, the city that kills its prophets, and ultimately to the cross, where he gives up his life for the redemption of the world. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus finishes the work for which he had come into the world and makes the ultimate sacrifice for us. Gratefully, we then sing his loving grace in the words of O Perfect Love, hymn 452. Please stand for the prayers of the church. We pray for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Grant peace, we pray, and mercy, Lord, that when things are going poorly and we have only ground level perspective, grant us that faith to know you and to love us, that you love us, and that your perspective is broader and wider than ours. In those difficult times, help us to always turn to you, trusting that you always love us and care for us. Lord, in your mercy. Grant grace, we pray, in mercy, Lord. We pray for your kingdom on earth, that around and around the globe there may be an increase of the word of life. May the Spirit's power be made evident in the church as it reaches to all parts of the world, bringing the good news of sins forgiven through Christ to every place. Lord, in your mercy. Grant love, we pray, in mercy, Lord. We pray for our household of faith, for our families, for our neighborhoods, that we may be filled with a sense of appreciation for all your good gifts. As we are blessed by the care of others, so may we bless them with care in your name. Lord, in your mercy. Grant healing, we pray, in mercy, Lord. We pray for the sick and the shut-ins, the souring, and those who are undergoing hardship or challenges, and all who this day are in need of our prayers. We pray especially for Paula, Dan, Sue, Della, Jerry, Audrey, Carrie, Piper, Kelly, and Norm. And we pray for those who cannot be with us today: Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Jean, Della, Fred, Denny, Karen, Weldon, and Marion. Comfort each of these by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and remind them of the certainty of their eternal life through faith in you. Use us to minister to them in their times of need. Lord, in your mercy. Grant us your ear in mercy, Lord, so you know that our world is fallen and full of heartbreak and confusion. Thank you for hearing us cry out in our distress. Send the Holy Spirit to fill us with your peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard our hearts and minds in you. Help us to find our rest in you, knowing that you have carried the heavy load of sin and suffering for us, and that we are free and forgiven in you. Lord, in your mercy. Grant care, we pray, Lord, in mercy. Lead us by the work of the Holy Spirit to do that which God intends for us to do, bringing aid to the poor and hope to the oppressed, working for justice in our communities and being agents of care and concern in our circles of relationships. Lord, in your mercy. We pray, Lord, for all of these things and whatsoever else we should have asked of you, so grant us by your mercy. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And now we bless you that in Jesus Christ you have shown us your plan for us to live forever. As Jesus proclaims, "I am the resurrection and the life," we find in him the fullness of your forgiving and limitless love. By the working of the Holy Spirit, grant us grace to grow in faith throughout this passion tide, remaining steadfast in hope as we wait the joys of heaven, where we will join in eternal chorus of angels and archangels in giving you unending praise and singing. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for all you have done for your people in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for the ministry of our Lord Jesus, who brought healing and hope to those whose lives he touched. We rejoice that by faith we know him to be the resurrection and the life for us and for all the faithful. Grant that all who partake of Christ's body and blood this day may be filled with your heavenly peace and joy. By your Spirit's power and presence, may we gratefully share the fellowship of your table, looking to that time when we feast in heaven with all your saints in glory. This we ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He broke it and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood you to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and to confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. We share God's peace. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ, broken for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ, shed for you. This is the blood of Christ, shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. The blood of Christ shed for you. blood of Christ shed for you. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. The blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ, shed for you. This is the blood of Christ, shed for you. Blood of Christ, shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. The blood of Christ shed for you. And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. And may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. We continue with the post-communion canticle. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life and the knowledge you have revealed to us through Jesus, your Son. To you be glory forever. By this sacrament, strengthen and preserve us. Guide, guard, and rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to constantly to serve you here on earth, looking to the final day of resurrection and that time after the end of time, when the feast with Christ with a lamb in his kingdom. This we ask through your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the benediction. Go out into the world in peace. Hold on to what is good. Have courage. Return no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor everyone and care for the creation. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Almighty God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. If you have announcements, please come forward.
I have an announcement of good news here. I just got word yesterday from the National LWML president that the LWML, Lutheran Women's Missionary League, has reached their $2 million goal for the biennium of 2015 to 2017. That's really good. Every year we increase it a little bit, and that $2 million mark was really a big amount. And I'm just sad that you guys don't have a Lutheran Layman's League or Men's Club or something so you can do projects like this. This is all, a lot of it from our little mite boxes that we save. So anyway, it's just really good news that we made that. So thank you.
Are there other announcements? So your assignment for next week is to come back to church and tell me what an Ebenezer is. We sang that in the first hymn, Ebenezer. With that, we will close our service with the closing hymn. Go in peace, serve the Lord.